there's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. Round 16 is done and dusted. We're back in regular footy with 9 games on a weekend to review. Still one Thursday night game to come, and what a match that's going to be this week between Hawthorn and Sydney. But before we look ahead, we'll look back, and it's going to be an amazing edition of the Super Footy Podcast today because Sam Edmonds here and Mick's not. Welcome, Sammy.
Oh, and it just makes it even sweeter to be here, Hutto. Mick might be having a fantastic time in Bali, but we're having a better time.
Is he in Bali?
Because he's not here. Correct, he is.
Wow. Yeah.
But look, the sun's always shining in here at the Super Footy Bunker.
It is. The view we have over the city is just incredible from here, isn't
remarkable.
It?
Remarkable. Instead, we're in something of a black box. The heat lamps are sweltering. We undo the buttons as we plough on, but it's good to be here. And what an absolute logjam we've got in this top eight.
And it is a little bit. It feels normally we're balanced with two teams for me to hate, Carlton on one side and Richmond on the other, but I actually quite like North Melbourne. And Gilbert Gardner's sitting in Mick's seat today, so it does make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Welcome, Gilbert.
Howdy, boys. Yeah, look, glad to be back. Second time in 3 weeks. Had never been on the Super Footy Podcast, and here I am starting to take my own regular spot. So I'm enjoying it. We'll see how we go.
North Melbourne, Gil, let's just cut to the chase.
One of three top eight teams that lost on the weekend and under siege.
Have lost your last four. I would say clinging to the top eight, but you're lucky there's a big gap between eighth and the rest of the competition. A nightmare last month of the season. How do you feel? Because you made a pretty substantial bet over the weekend that your club would salute over at Subiaco and failed. What's the damage there?
So is this podcast sponsored by any BWS or Dan Murphy's or any of that nature?
We're working on that.
I've basically got to shell out for three slabs. It wasn't my brightest moment. I thought the Kangas were Monty's. They had to win that game. They really had to keep that gap from the charging teams in 8, 9, 10, 11, and just to try and get a bit of a home final. Worst case scenario, go to West Coast and just got belted up. But they never looked like really winning. They were close enough, but they just never looked like getting across.
Not just one slab, but you put on the line three slabs with three different people.
Oh, look, Sammy, I panicked.
Yeah.
I genuinely panicked. One person took the bait, and I thought, how good's this? So I went for the... And then the second hand came out, and I thought, well, this is almost taking it
Did
up.
You get a line or anything? Or, like, you know, like, do they have to give you three if they gave
no,
if you
no,
gave them one?
I was pretty comfortable that I'd be taking home three slabs today. And so it was two slabs of Melbourne Bitter and one stone and wood. So this will be interesting.
All right. Well, what about North then? The injuries have been a massive factor, surely. For some reason, I still have some faith if they can get through the next 3 weeks, that they can still finish in a reasonable position, even though they've got a tough draw from there, but potentially come the finals. Just given how there's, I think all the top eight teams have got potential weaknesses, I still think they can actually do it and be okay.
But what does be okay? Define be okay.
Well, be, if things come together, still be a chance to push.
Push for?
Premiership.
A premiership?
Yep.
They can still win the flag.
Still win the flag.
It's a lottery up there, boys. And look,
oh, I don't want to be.
This might be going off Broadway, but I'm going to go in early. This within the first 2 minutes. Is it just me? But the Kangas. This is big.
Hang on.
This is a newcomer to the podcast, breaking all sorts of etiquette.
Young
here.
Buck on the Bulls just jumped out of the gate straight away.
Just on the front foot. Just on the front foot. Matty Hayden type, take two steps down the wicket and hook this to the boundary.
Can I do a beacon rewind that he might want his time again and going this early with an Is It Just Me?
But you touched on it a little bit there, boys. But the injuries, North has been absolutely crippled by injuries. How's East for some in, Sammy? And I tell you, if they can win the next three or four games, North Melbourne might be able to host their final. Their finals footy stands up. They've won finals in the past 2 years. But here are some of the names. Sean Higgins, Silk. Jared Waite.
Unknown.
Did you see his first half of the year? Unbelievable. Was
unknown.
Goals
long time ago now.
Unknown. Higgins,
Daniel
long-term.
Wells.
Unknown.
Rolls Royce. Ben Jacobs, best tagger
unknown.
In the game. Sam Bright,
long-term.
You wouldn't recognise me if you walked in here, but I tell you what, the drive that he provides off halfback and the stopping ability is tremendous. And Mason Wood, that was the one that really hurt me on the weekend.
Long-term.
Went down with another knee, so we're hoping that he might be okay. But there's some names there that they slot straight back into the best 22. There wouldn't be too many teams in that top eight that could compete with six best 22 blokes out of the side.
No, it's not just you. They have been unlucky.
The downside is for North that if that doesn't happen and we get to the end of the year and they struggle into eighth spot and they've got a lot of old guys and they're going to have to make some calls either this year or the following year on them, aren't they? And that includes, sadly, probably Nick Del Santo. Jared Waite, I think, would definitely go around again. But Petrie. Daniel Wells is a fantastic player when he's up and running, but he's injury prone, and unfortunately, the same thing's happened again. But I share the sentiment of what you're saying. If they can get those, they've just got to get through these next 3 weeks and win, and that starts with Port Adelaide this week.
Because I think the last month, Gil, something like Geelong, Hawthorn, Adelaide, GWS. I think that's North Melbourne's last 4 weeks before what would appear to be a certain finals appearance, don't get me wrong. But that's a nightmare 4 weeks as well to run into finals with. We know they had the softest butter draw to start with. The percentage was probably the indicator that they probably weren't quite convincing enough. Then they've been smacked in the face by the toughest run home in the comp, according to champion data, and what we feared has transpired. The injuries are piled on top of it, so I don't think it's going to happen for them this year, Hutto.
If they lose to Port Adelaide this week, I know I'm here arguing, I'm sort of arguing both sides of the coin with North Melbourne.
That splinters out.
Yeah. If they lose this week to Port Adelaide, are they actually vulnerable then? Is their spot in the eight still up for grabs?
So that closes it to 2-game gap.
Yep.
Obviously three at the moment.
Obviously if Port had beaten Hawthorn on Thursday, it would have been a...
The week after is Collingwood, off the top of my head.
And they're another team in that.
They're the ones that have that 2-game gap. So that could almost become a 1-game gap. But of course, Collingwood's got a big game this week against Adelaide.
Yep.
Look, I don't think they can drop out of the eight. I think it's fanciful to think that they can drop out of the eight. That probably is not going to happen.
Well, they could lose those last four games though, couldn't they? And if they happen to lose one or two of the next three...
Well, certainly Brad Scott shares your optimism, Gil. He could sell ice to the Eskimos with that post-match press conference. The sun was out, it was shiny, and the green shoots of growth, as Brendan Bolton calls them, are just out at Arden Street and everything's fine and everyone's going to come back and we're going to be hunky-dory. But I'm a long way from convinced.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other concern, and Gilbert, you'd be across all of this, no doubt, with North, is going forward, is just their draft picks from the last 3 or 4 years. They've haven't been able to get a lot of them out on the park, and that still remains. Like, Clark was good on the weekend. I thought he was excellent.
Wagner's been good the last couple of games he's played. They've showed a little bit. Luke McDonald's not in the side. He's another one that's
and Jed Anderson, you're talking about acquisitions. He's been injured long-term as well.
He has been injured, and yeah, look, I wasn't convinced on the weekend, but hopefully he just needed a little bit of a blowout there, a bit of a sighter, and we get the best of Jed in the next few weeks. But look, I mean, the draft class of 2 years ago, I don't think we've actually seen
haven't
any of
them. Haven't seen them, no.
They all had long-term shoulders,
Durden,
knees,
and
the big long-term injuries. So we haven't even seen them, and I don't know if they're doing too much in the VFL.
What about Mitch Hibbert on the weekend, speaking
just
of
doing nothing.
Sniper.
Well, what happened there? He just got shot from the sidelines.
It was unbelievable.
The knee crumpled with no one around him.
No one.
Amazing vision.
Wouldn't have been anyone within 30 metres and tried to change direction, and his foot just sort of sunk, and the knee went, see you later. He's had trouble with that knee. It's the reconstructed knee. And apparently dislocated that kneecap earlier in the year as well.
Ouch.
So obviously not a bit of a weak spot.
But they're not the only
top
eight side to stumble, are they?
Well, whose loss was worse in your mind, Geelong at home or GWS at home?
Well, GWS losing to Collingwood was just totally out of the blue, totally unpredicted, and extremely costly. Now they're seventh. Geelong have slipped from, what about Geelong? Second to sixth, is that right? I think. So, always suspected Sydney were going to come breathing fire, but they'd lost 10 of their last 11 down there.
Filthy with themselves from the week before against the Bulldogs, by all reports. So the fact that they were going to come out, I think for Geelong, there's been most of their losses actually, but 3 or 4 games in particular where they've just stunk at the start of the game and the opposition team has just brought this pressure. And I know they got back in front and they got back on level terms, but to me, that period where they were doing that, they should have been adding a lot more goals on.
And that's the key. This is the thing with the Sydney Swans. As I was sitting in the portable, and I think you were there as well, Hutto, in the muddy makeshift stand that they're building down there, which will be magnificent, by the way. Long way to go. As we sat in that foggy little, portable, they should have been 4, 5, 6 goals up on Sydney. Sydney's ability to absorb heat.
It's like the old Sydney, isn't it, from a few years ago?
That defence is conceding, and that team is conceding the fewest points per game since 1929. They just do not get scored on, and per inside 50 entries, they are the best at holding teams to no score. So you get it in there. How good was Alia?
Yeah.
How good was Dane Rampey? Grundy's had an amazing season that's answered all the critics and more. They just absorb heat. And it looked like Geelong, it felt like Geelong had gone 5 goals clear. And you look at the scoreboard there at Simmons, and they're up by a kick or something. And you just think, how is that possible?
There was just a feeling of inevitability that Geelong were going to win. But they gave away stupid 50-metre penalty, the Bartel one, Dangerfield one in the first quarter.
They were there, though.
They were there. Stupid. Yeah, I mean, Dangerfield was just wandering along. It was just odd. And Jimmy forgot the new rule. And, yeah, so that just sort of kept Sydney going. It gave them an extra goal in the first quarter, and then one went in the second quarter when they were really on the back foot. But Geelong have got some issues.
Oh, isn't it just a riddle that I just can't get my finger on? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Talk about blowing hot and cold, well, quarter to quarter, not forget week to week. You know, they'd beaten all the sides in and around them just about, lost to some...
Maybe they felt that because of that they were going to come out and be, you know, too good again for another team around them.
Can they score heavily enough, boys? How's the attack going to go? Tomahawk looks a shadow of his former self.
Clark and... Yeah, well, it's early days, and Clark didn't look great first up, which you suspect. It was horribly greasy.
It was greasy. It wasn't ideal condition. He did some okay things, but then he did some not-so-okay things.
Remains to be seen how they work, though.
No doubt. There's no proof that those two can work together, but they have to try it. So I think Kirsten will definitely come back in next week. I'm going to do it. Is it just me? Is it just me? Or should Geelong, at least within a game, push Henderson forward? To me, they've got a back line that's too tall, and you know they are getting old. And obviously, Henderson is going to be a fixture there going forward. But
that's a ripper. I'm surprised it hasn't happened, actually.
He can play that role, which I think they need, which is that lead-up forward and cover the ground. And I think that's when he's actually played some of his best footy.
They have spoken about that. Not just kicking the goal, but that last kick inside 50, that link between the midfield and forward, which is they're lacking that sort of
no doubt. Tom Lynch, if you could duplicate him, there'd be 17 other clubs. Not many other clubs have got one.
There's another big problem at Geelong, though, and it's not contained in that, is Stephen Motlop. What is going on with Stephen Motlop?
Don't I remember the Adelaide game? I think it was after the Adelaide game when he started, and everyone goes, he's finally made it. And since then, he's been putrid. Actually, I watched him on Friday night. His second quarter, he tried really hard. He had 9 disposals in that quarter, but he burnt the footy. And it was like after then, he just saw, it's just not going to happen for me.
Is he? I mean, he's obviously a confidence player, and he'd be struggling to bounce out of that. But he's not alone. I mean, Cam Guthrie's another one. Real barometer for the Cats. When he's playing well, they're unbelievable.
Well, you're right. It is that next level down. I mean,
Mitch Duncan was quiet too.
Yeah, I mean, he gave away that stupid free kick in the goal square. Oh, it is that next level down of players that probably really need to fire. You could still say that Geelong make it to September and see Dangerfield and Selwood having a ripper day at the MCG and then beating any particular team day.
For sure.
But if they're going to get into good enough position to win the flag and to really challenge in September, it's that next level. Like Blitzarves.
I was just going to mention him.
Yeah.
He's lost form totally.
I think he just hasn't got as a significant role in the team with Dangerfield. You know, maybe Dangerfield's inclusion has just caused a bit of a reshuffle. I think the plan for last Friday night was for Dangerfield to play a lot more forward. And because they were getting beaten around the ball so much, it didn't happen. But I would suspect that he is going to play more footy forward from now on.
I like Nakia Cockatoo. I know it's his first game back.
And his brother Nakia as well.
Well, okay. Nakia, Nakia, banana. I did enjoy his first game back. Can't get on his back, but there were signs of life there. And he's a man that can make a difference to a side. He's got that cutting edge. I like him.
They're small pressure players. McCarthy wasn't very good. Lang wasn't very good on the weekend. So they need those players to play well, particularly when Kirsten didn't play. It was disappointing for the Cats, but...
I just wonder with Motlop whether he's a sort of, and oodles of talent, don't get me wrong, and more talent than a lot of blokes have gotten their entire body in one shoe, basically. But I just wonder if he's one of those players who, not to criticise him here, but in a side that's going okay to excellent, he's an amazing player, or more likely to play very good footy. When the chips are down, is he the sort of player that picks a side up, or is sort of the player that makes your side even better when you're going well? I don't know. I suspect he might be later. There's been plenty of them down the history of the game, but I just wonder when the chips are down whether he's one of the first to go missing by virtue of the way he plays.
What about the Giants then? We started talking about them and I managed to move it on to Geelong, but was it just an aberration given that they dominated everything in the first quarter and then all of a sudden Collingwood played this extraordinary football that we thought we were going to see this year? In fact, we've seen a little bit in the pre-season. We started to see it when they beat Geelong and in the first half against the Dogs before they lost all their players. But just from a Giants point of view, first of all.
Well, the chips are probably down. 6 minutes in, I've done the Is It Just Me, and now I'm going to throw in the Be Kind Rewind and just put everything all in. Just go in 6 minutes into this pod. It's
typical you.
But the Giants, they were sitting second on the ladder. Now, they'd want to have that day again. You can't... Everyone was thinking you can't beat them at Spotless. All of a sudden, they maintain, they win, you know, six of their last eight or seven of their last eight games, home final. Imagine being a Victorian team heading up there and they're freewheeling and beating teams. Collingwood's gone up there and gone, you guys just aren't that good. And they, I don't know, they didn't shirk it, but they didn't really give a lot of fire after that first quarter. Brody Grundy was huge. The Pies just outplayed them. And I think now if you're travelling up there in finals, all of a sudden that element of doubt where you thought that, geez, this young team, they fear nothing and they're going to be really tough to beat in finals, especially at Spotless Stadium. I think that that fear is now maybe a little bit tempered.
Something significant happened in this game for both sides from a matchup point of view, and it was significant for Brent McCaffer and it was significant for Heath Shaw. Now, they played on each other. Brent McCaffer played the forward defensive role. He's a guy who has struggled to find a role this year, sort of fallen off the cliff a bit under Bucks. Heath Shaw, all Australian form, no doubt about it. He absolutely blanketed him.
Yep.
And look, I'm not saying that's the sole reason GWS ground to a halt, but it was a massive factor. Carlton tried to do it with Simon.
Yeah, White. They did. I was going to say that.
But Collingwood nailed it. And Heath Shaw had no influence on the game. I'm not sure what his final numbers were.
He had 20 in the end.
It just seemed like he had very little influence.
Yeah. I think it was compounded by the fact that Wilson and Williams both didn't play. So that's a very... Williams did play, but Wilson didn't play.
Yep.
So, and they lost a fair bit out of their defence, although Phil Davis did end up playing in the game. So.
And the elephant in the room is that Travis Cloke decided to wind back the clock a few years and clunk absolutely everything in sight, which who would have seen that coming? And I hold my hand up. I'm one of them. I just couldn't believe what I was watching.
I'm really fascinated by this and also how it applies potentially to other forwards.
Yeah.
He took a lot of convincing, from what I understand, to actually change his style, change his body shape. And we're going to see, I'm sure you'll see more of it from here on in, and certainly in the preseason.
I don't think they were quite happy with the body shape even. They wanted him to lose more.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's what I mean. He still will lose more, but he just wouldn't believe that he needed to do that. And I think they tried to do that before this year. And he wanted to keep going with what he'd done previously. And finally, when obviously what was happening to him was happening to him, he got the message. And we are seeing some of the benefits now. We can't jump too early, but as the game, he got better as the game went on. No, his confidence.
Talk about confidence players. Has there ever been a bigger confidence
probably
player
not.
Travis Cloke? I mean, he's on the record as saying, if I miss the first one, I'm pretty much stuffed for the rest of the game.
Why he ever said that publicly, I have no idea.
He's a very honest man. But he was marking by the end of the game.
Yeah. And he was unstoppable. You could see it was all coming out too.
Oh, yeah, the emotion was great. Yeah. It was great to watch. Those two things, Shaw, Cloke, and there was another factor for mine that was key in the game, and that was Brody Grundy, who decided to ruck like Big Nick. That was unbelievable, and he thrashed Mumford.
Well, Mumford hasn't had that all year, has he? He's intimidated most ruckmen.
Yeah. His athleticism was great. So
ran him around.
Yeah, he looked fantastic as well, did Reg Grundy. So, hey, was it an anomaly, or are the Pies, dare we say it, finally starting to turn the wheel?
Can they beat Adelaide this week?
Tough ask, wouldn't it? Adelaide Oval, it'd be almost impossible. No.
But it's all about how they go about it, isn't it?
I mean, they've got some. They haven't got a really easy run home, Collingwood, from here. But
no, there's some bogeys.
If they can play footy like that, won't it ease the squeeze on Nathan Buckley going into next year? I mean, they'll still have to perform and all that sort of stuff.
And just with Cloke, it seemed like a fait accompli. He wouldn't be there. Now I wonder what's happening behind the scenes. You'd love to be a fly on the wall.
He'll definitely be playing AFL football next year.
Oh, no doubt about that.
So it's whether he's there or somewhere else. It seemed like there was very little interest in him from other clubs going back a month, but that could change from what we've seen so far.
Mm. Well, Gil's rolled out his both his.
So he can go. You can go now.
I'm out of here, boys.
Do we need to get cracking into ours?
Well, I've given you my Is It Just Me already. Oh, okay. What about yours?
I'll go. We haven't covered this game yet, but my Is It Just Me pertains to the Essendon and St Kilda game, but all of Essendon's games this year, or the vast majority. And I want to ask you, gentlemen, is it just me? Or is Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody the find of the season?
The find of the season. How do you define the find of the season?
Look, you find
them
anywhere, don't you?
Does that mean he's a first-year player or not?
Yeah. I'll open it up to the draft too, and I know there's been some amazing first-year draftees this year, but for value for money, so to speak, mm-hmm. for what you give up to what you get, he has to be, if he's not number one, he's on the podium. I'll put you on the spot, but...
Jeez, it's a short half-head between, and we mentioned this off-air, I like Matty Wright. Carlton got him for nothing, delisted by Adelaide.
Been good.
Pretty much an average player at Adelaide, and all of a sudden he's elite at the Blues. But Waller, I'm a big fan of him. In Supercoach, the people that do play Supercoach, his name actually breaks the game, so it goes off two lines. It ruins so in all the things. I just liked him just purely out of that. And I think he showed on the weekend he's versatile. He's just playing this half-back role, and all of a sudden he goes up forward and gives him a spark there as well. He's there next year. Lock him in for 3 years.
Oh, for sure.
It was a good day for Essendon, wasn't it, yesterday? Yeah, like, just to show some of the young talent. Danaher was back to the confidence, and that mark he took was fantastic. Unfortunately, his kicking was remains.
He can tease like, with the best of them,
and it's going to I suspect it's going to remain an issue with him through his career. Hopefully he can get some
system. So he kicked 2-3, two out in the full. I think, don't hold me to that, but it was a one out in the fall. Anyway, he could have kicked five again.
Yeah.
And that towering mark, if there was ever a moment you needed a goal, though, that was such a pivotal point of the game.
And he's missed, kicked inside 50. Open target as well. It really cost him. How high did he get? So Sam Gilbert's what, 195? 196?
He got right up there.
And he's standing on his shoulders.
If that's the highest mark, you know, up there with the highest mark of all time, given, like you're saying, he's... Yeah. Who he was shoulders on, and then he's that.
He's 200. What is he? 200 and change.
So you're 4 metres off the ground.
Yeah.
No. I think it's going to be a Fox Footy lab case of that, of putting up the... And it'll be a good chance for us to show Gary Moorcroft again and show Jono.
Yeah, Jono was reminded he was doing that game.
He was,
and it was swiftly brought up, which I was happy with.
Yeah,
needs to be brought up at every opportunity.
Absolutely.
Just on that game, I reckon, Hutto, this is one of those ones where the St Kilda supporters might have gone home more unhappy than Essendon supporters.
No doubt.
They were pretty filthy on their performance, the Saints. Woeful with the pill. The worst they've been all year, according to the coach. Defended okay, but gee, they found and invented new and strange and bizarre ways to give it back to Essendon, whose pressure was good,
I think some teams...
I really had a crack.
There's been quite a few games this year where teams have struggled to play against Essendon. Mm. Like, struggled just... It's purely a mental thing, you would imagine, to play your best footy, particularly for four quarters.
Just as well for one man, though. He delivered again. Yeah. And that's Tim Membry. Because if he hadn't, they'd be looking at an awfully embarrassing defeat.
Well, actually, I'm interested you say that, because I think Josh Bruce is a really interesting case at the moment. He's lost confidence. He seems to me to be... always feeling for the fullback rather than the fullback feeling for him, and he's being led under, being pushed under the ball.
Were you at this game?
No, I just watched a bit of it on TV, and I don't know. I know Nick Revolt pre-season said he was really confident that Bruce could go on and improve and get better and better as a full forward, but to me, he's still as good as he's done. I think he's more a second or third forward, and that's why Paddy McCartan, for their future, if they can. Get McCartan to be the main man and then have Membry and Bruce as second and third, then they're fine in their forward line.
Yeah.
With Carlisle swinging forward every now and then.
Oh, Gil thinks. I had a bit of sympathy for the forwards yesterday, which makes Tim Membry's performance all the more astonishing. Is the way the ball was going inside that 50 was shambolic at best and deplorable at worst. Membry's now kicked 28 in 10 games.
Yeah.
He had a slow start to the season.
It puts him at about sixth or seventh
in terms of
goals per game for the year.
He's only been held goalless once since he started playing. This season, came back from injury, so remarkable.
There was no sign of that previously to this year, really, was it?
And does not miss.
Yeah.
Does not miss. He's a cracking
set shot. That's the bottom line. In fact,
he was delisted by the Swans as well. Sorry to interrupt.
I don't know if he was delisted. I think he wanted to go, didn't he? I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure.
I'll have to double check that.
I thought he was a delisted free agent when they picked him up, but maybe I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think he obviously saw Buddy and Tippett going to the club, so probably didn't think he had too much chance.
Yeah.
Ironically, Sydney could probably use him as another forward.
Although, we won't digress too much here, but with the Swans, I heard that 12 different goal kickers on Friday night, which was the most they've had in a game since 2013.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested because Buddy definitely played up the ground more.
Buddy played kick one, Heaney didn't play, and
They smashed through 15 goals.
So interested to see whether that is something that they're going to do more of and try and get a spread of goals, or whether it was just what they wanted to do on the night.
I think so. And it'd be interesting to see what happens. With Alira Lear going back, Ted Richards forward. I wonder if it'll be Ted Richards goes forward and then goes out of the side. I mean, if Kurt Tippett comes back, where does Teddy fit?
If Kurt Tippett comes back, one of the other ruck...
but he's ruck forward, correct?
Naismith goes out.
Right.
So I don't think Teddy stays as a forward. Doesn't change. Heaney comes back next week, probably for James Rose, I would think.
Teddy could still play that role
as that.
He was
forward.
Okay against the Cats.
Yeah, he was, and he had played forward for Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting.
Many lifetimes ago.
So Sydney were, as we said, they were good, and they're going to be interesting to see how they go against Hawthorn on the weekend. Talking about goal kicking and straight goal kicking, the week before Gold Coast and St Kilda played, I think the worst game in my memory in terms of kicking for goal collectively between two teams. But they kicked straight on the weekend, Gold Coast, and the Q clash, which I've got to say I wasn't particularly looking forward to commentating, wasn't too bad. There's a bit happening, obviously, with the injuries for Gold Coast, and even though it sounds like Ablett's, we'll wait and get the.
Yeah.
What's the news today? Have you heard anything today?
No, we're all waiting with bated breath.
I think they were pretty confident that it wasn't too bad.
A bit of scar tissue or a bit of bruising, but what bothered me was so innocuous how it happened.
Nothing.
And it also that, and then secondly, that he's a guy. Maybe he's a bit like Daniel Wells. He either can't, and I'm not begrudging him for any sense. I'm sitting here behind a microphone. Can't or isn't willing to play with injuries that are bothering him. Mm. You know. And fine for him, each to their own. Maybe he has to play when he's 100% only, 95% at best.
I think you've come to the podcast before not being fully fit, and you've performed. And
we'll get to that.
Pretty poorly.
We'll get to that.
Oh, will we? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think the interesting
I wasn't raising a sensitive
point there.
I don't know if it was the first game, but certainly recent games, he's only just taken the strapping off that shoulder.
Yeah, I think
it was
about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so that, like, even that's a little bit of a mind game, you know, whether it, now he'll always have it strapped or not have it strapped.
Because a lot of those blokes that have had shoulders just always have it strapped. In fact,
Juddy always.
First thing Moon said to me yesterday when I saw him was, did he have it strapped? And I said, no. He goes, I just can't understand why not. So whether that would have made any difference,
shame,
I'm not
sure.
Such a
shame. He's just starting to recapture that form that we know.
But, it's so disappointing because they'll get O'Meara back in a few weeks.
And Riscatelli's gone.
And Riscatelli's gone out. And so we're not going to see...
What's he done, Rocket? Has he done something we don't know about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this all the footy gods coming back to get him? Or what's happened there?
It's just really disappointing because we want to see what their best of them can be, and they've got two blokes up forward.
I was going to say, we need to feed them as much as possible. They're like the two pythons of the AFL. They need to be fed, Gil. When you've got 2 metre Peter and Tommy Lynch marking everything in sight, the ball has to go in there for the spectator's sake.
Hasn't 2 metre Peter's development gone through the roof? Ugh. Last year he was struggling to get games. I know our man across the road, actually, Benny Waterworth, he was mentioned, one of our good friends down at Fox Footy.
Ben who?
Ben who? That's exactly right. And talking about preparation.
He listens to this podcast,
saying he was preparing quite heavily.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to compare the Fox Footy podcast to our preparation levels. And I was over there this morning, and a couple of things I brought away from there. And one was that Ben had seven pages of notes, pretty much a full page for every game. I thought a little bit over the top.
Come on, Benny.
Gee whiz.
And, what happened to impromptu,
they
Benny?
Also had this pinned up on the wall, which is the Fox Sports Sit Correctly, Sit Safely. User's guide to self-assess, adjust your workspace, identify your needs, reduce muscle tension and fatigue. So point one is rest your flat feet on the floor or on a footrest.
Mine are slightly bent.
Yeah, we're both
point
out.
Two, keep your thighs parallel to the floor and avoid pressure on the back of the thighs.
Stop looking at my thighs, I don't.
Backrest should be upright and provide firm support to the lower back.
I'm in a lazy boy here, I think.
Shoulders relaxed and arms hanging loosely by your side. Keep your forearms and wrists straight. Document holder and screen placed at a comfortable viewing distance. Top screen should be at eye level.
This is a real document you're
holding. This is a real document.
I wonder what that was. And
we should tweet that out. That's the actual document.
Wow.
They obviously are more, they can talk through their, you know, breathe through the diaphragm and all that sort of stuff. So I'm sure that gives them the edge.
You went off on a big tangent there, but I'll support it.
Okay.
It was good.
It was a bit. We can cut that out if you want.
Just with 2 metre Peter, though, as befuddled I am with that little tangent you just went on, I'm also wondering the seven, I guess, recruiters involved in that draft before 2 metre Peter got taken at pick 8. Do you reckon they got asked the question in the last few weeks? What the heck were you thinking?
We should Google that
No, I'm on it.
Okay, Gilbert. we'll get him to do the Googling there.
Sorry, Gil.
But that's all right. Remember, he was delisted. He delisted himself for what a little fact check there. He delisted himself and was
technically
picked up as
you were correct.
Delisted free agent.
How do you delist yourself, by the way?
Well, I guess he didn't want to be traded, wouldn't he? Can't you just see? He was off in the first list lodgement I was just reading a second ago. So
if you're out of contract, you just quit, don't you?
Just quit. Yeah, okay. Stand corrected. Apologise for that. I'll never question you again. He wanted to leave Sydney, as I said, but he delisted himself, apparently. So I think we're both right. Peter, I mentioned it last week, I think I did. I mentioned it somewhere anyway. I remember one recruiter from another club who wasn't in that top eight said they had Peter Wright as number one.
Yeah, right.
Told me on draft night, they said he's the player I would pick as number one. He's the best player in the draft.
Wow, okay.
So
who was that?
I'm not going to tell you who that was. But if I could remember it, I'd tell you. Look, it's 2 weeks where they haven't played against anything amazing. St Kilda were ordinary, and then Brisbane are obviously very undermanned in defence, so let's not get carried away. But he's a beautiful kick of the ball.
He is.
And so we've got Paddy McCartan at one, Christian Petrarca at two, Angus Brayshaw at three, Jared Pickett at four, Jordan DeGoey at five, Caleb Marchbank at six, Paul Ahern, who we haven't even seen yet, at seven, and then Peter Wright.
Not the worst. Not the worst collection. Not a bad draft, actually. Yeah.
How would you reorder them at the moment? On exposed form, Dussie Moore, Nekai Cockatoo, Liam Duggan, Corey Ellis, Lachie Wellett, Jake Lever at 14. He'd be right up there.
Yeah, no, that's a good draft. I don't know, but that's a good draft. No, I'm not as
damning.
Not as damning now. No.
Okay, well, you've lost your edge.
Yeah, I have. I'm all bark, no bite.
Just quickly through some of that. Brisbane, I think, played a much more attacking game on the weekend, and that led to a higher scoring game. Well, they did what they talked about doing, and actually probably did in the season. They were much more direct, didn't stuff around with the footy. They gave their young tools a chance, and there were some good signs in there. But unless they can get their top players playing well, it's such a long, 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 long road for Brisbane.
Next.
Did I put enough longs in there?
Next. No, Dane Zorko's catches my eye each and every week. He's had a great season.
Yeah, he has a crack, doesn't he?
Other than that, I'm really struggling to...
Melbourne and Freo.
Didn't watch a minute of this game. Gave it 30 seconds and just couldn't do it. Yeah, under a minute.
I saw the last quarter when I got back after the Richmond game finished.
Better than us.
And I think there was two goals kicked in the last quarter.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
The producer of the game had a funny to do with Jono. I can't remember what it was. That he was desperate to get away. He was just waiting for a goal to be kicked so he can show a bit of an old thing. No more goals were kicked. So he was filthy. We didn't get the chance to hang it on Jono. But Melbourne won a game they needed to win.
Gorn, and they won it well, too.
Yeah,
which
Gorn
is what,
continues
what
to... Want. He's got to be the All-Australian ruckman now, doesn't he?
Oh, easy.
Yeah, he's going beautifully, isn't he? He loves playing away from home, I've noticed. Mm. This season, he has blinders.
You think he likes getting into the hotel...
Don't know what it is.
...scenario away from home?
You go have a look. I don't think it's just me. It's not just me. I know we've done that.
Why?
Away from the MCG, he's been prolific. 99% of the time.
Doesn't bode well for 2017 finals campaign for Melbourne, does
No,
it
doesn't.
So you're saying he can't play well at the MCG?
No, he still plays well, but he goes off tap away from home. Don't know what it is. I think he had 141 Supercoach.
I think you can investigate that in your column this week.
Mm.
Carlton Adelaide, I did yesterday. The Dennis Armfield show in the first half was entertaining. Thank God for it, because... It was a stinking second half once it got a bit moist at the G, and it would have been a pretty ordinary day without it. Carlton sort of had a crack, but
just story of the season.
Couldn't their forward half is just non-existent.
No, and that's why it's going to be great to see, and hopefully we see them soon. The likes of Charlie Kerno come back in, Harry McKay come back in, who are babies in the grand scheme of things, but they're forwards. They'll play attacking half of the ground. It'll be something for Carlton supporters to look at instead of a relatively makeshift forward line that's blunt.
Christian Jack's got to get another chance, doesn't he, probably?
Don't know where Jacksy's at, to be honest. Yeah, really not sure what's going on there.
Well,
what did he play, about two games under Mick? He hasn't played under Bolts.
Levi.
Yeah.
He's really struggling at the moment.
We're speaking probably a bit out of school here because we might have the results by the time this goes to air, but surely he gets rubbed out, does he, if they're consistent?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. So he'll probably get a week for that anyway.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Or we'd be hearing from Essendon, I reckon.
Yeah.
Look, and Adelaide, super impressive. One of the softest runs home as well, which is why they are not just a sleeper for the premiership, but they're a real, real dark horse now.
I reckon I've said it every week, and I'm not wishing this on Adelaide, don't get me wrong, but they continue, and it's brilliant for them to get through. You contrast them with North Melbourne.
They've basically had no injuries. Seed, you know, Crouch had a problem for a couple of weeks. He's back in. Seedsman came back on the in the SANFL on the weekend. So they don't appear to have a real weakness. I think the depth of their midfield is still questionable, but Jared Lyons is playing really well. The Crouch brothers are getting better and better.
And Sloan's been red hot.
Sloan's been excellent. They don't have a superstar midfield, though, do they? So whether but they have a very good ruckman. So whether a team could get on top in the midfield and really test them.
And, and I mean, and more
the defense
and more,
is excellent.
It is. And good, more and more run. Now, it's just as much, if not more, about system than it is personnel. Mm. They've got a darn good system.
They're such a team-orientated forward line. Like
watching them.
Summer Taylor Walker's goal assists in the past few weeks have been extraordinary.
They just need to re-sign Josh Jenkins. They got to get Jerker to put pen to paper. If he leaves, that is nothing short of a disaster for that footy club, given the high-profile exits that have preceded it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've touched on North and West Coast. Just on West Coast, we talked about North, but I did mention here a few weeks ago, Sammy, that with the way the draw, and then they went and lost a game I didn't think they'd lose, but the way the draw was panning out, they could still get top four and be in a position to threaten.
They could probably be in a position, Hutto. You're right, but can't have them, won't have them. They won't win the premiership.
Well, they win the next four, and we're still counting here. Giants are spotless in round 21 could be their next
There's loss. A curly one 2 weeks before that, and it's Collingwood in Melbourne. Now, I know Collingwood aren't a legitimate finals contender.
No, you give them a chance in that game, huh?
Absolutely. The way West Coast play into state, you give them every chance. So if they can't get over Collingwood, that speaks volumes about West Coast. That's the next test for me, round 19 Collingwood.
All right. Dogs and Richmond. Dogs get over the line. I thought they were a little bit lucky. In fact, my beacon rewind was that Reece Conker free kick.
Yeah.
Which, to me...
What do you think about that?
Well, this is the... I reckon this is the free kick that frustrates the fans the most, the holding the ball. The one where the player doesn't get prior opportunity and his arms are pinned straight away, so there is actually nothing he can do. And what the umpires ask you to do is to wobble your nose, basically. Wobble your nose, move your butt around a bit to say, look, I'm trying to get rid of it.
The NRL style.
Yeah.
What do they call it? The worm.
Yeah.
Is it the worm?
Yeah. The worm. Yep.
So he had no chance in that decision.
Hmm.
And then
he's obviously frustrated.
And then he's frustrated. And it wasn't the worst display of petulance. Like, he didn't hold on to it for that long. And he actually did give it back to him just
But he was, you know.
Yeah, it was. I'm not saying it's easy for the umpire, but I thought they just were a bit stiff overall.
Hmm.
The Tigers.
Jordan Bannister, I think it was.
Didn't quite happen for them.
Took guts from the ump to pay both those decisions,
yeah,
but he did.
They just had a little run there where I almost thought they were home, the Tigers.
Tigers were good.
It's probably the best rule in footy, holding the ball, and it's amazing that we actually don't pay it. Like, that is the one part of the game. Talk about fan engagement. How good is it when you're at the ground and everyone just yells, ball, and it goes off? And now all of a sudden, this is what irks me, no opportunity on Conker, 100% agree, but you got the ones that literally get run down, but because they've thrown a toe at it and may have, you know, or just missed it, but he had an attempt, that shouldn't be paid. That really gets my goat, the old holding the ball.
Well, it's a whole podcast of itself, I think. We could talk about that rule. They haven't been able to work out exactly how to get it so that everyone is happy with it. Some have one view and some have an extreme the other. A lot of people talk about getting rid of prior opportunity altogether, and it's just bad luck, but it'd be interesting to see if anything changes on that front going forward. You want to do your Beacon Rewind?
Well, look, I haven't been looking forward to it, Hutto, but it's something that has to be done. My Beacon Rewind concerns myself, actually.
Really?
Last week I was here in body, but I certainly wasn't here in mind and spirit, and I remember little of the podcast, actually. But look, I said something about the Richmond Football Club. I know Mick Warner and I at the time were debating the future of out-of-contract player Dion Prestia. And I suggested he wouldn't go to Richmond because Richmond was, well, I didn't use a very nice word, and I won't repeat it, but it was too strong a word. And it appeared as though I'd caused some considerable offence, actually, to the people at the Richmond Football Club. So I thought it right that I apologise because, albeit it was banter, and that's what the podcast would like to think it's all about, and lighthearted, and Mick baits me about Carlton, I bait him about Richmond. I clearly went too far, chose the words poorly. So I apologise to anyone I offended at the Richmond Football Club with my terminology, which wasn't a swear word, mind you, nothing like that, but pretty offensive if you're of the yellow and black persuasion.
Wow, there you go. It's the
first apology in Superfooty podcast history. We've made it.
Yep.
This is it. It's official,
Is this going to go...
I've really dragged the mood down with
Is this going to go national now, like the Like a few weeks ago? No. Just going to be a headline story?
Well, look, I don't know whether this one
will. Do you think that was a good enough apology?
It was heartfelt. There was genuine remorse shown. I wish I'd listened to last week's podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen. It was a much better performance. Good on you, Sammy. Well done. It was a much better performance by Richmond, but I'll have a crack at them now because where has that been? Yeah. I'm not talking about winning or losing. I'm talking about the tackling and the pressure. I think they were much better in their pressure than. Why has it taken until now?
That's what makes them so infuriating. Mm. If you barrack for them or you cover them from a work perspective, like the three of us do, is that it's unfathomable, isn't it? And the kids come in. Maybe this is it. But where have they been? Why couldn't they be brought in? Your Castagnas and
George Castagna. He's and they look like they're good kicks. Markoff and George, they look like they are.
And you know what, though? They have that enthusiasm that comes with youth. Mm. And they're prepared to roll their sleeves up and have a crack. They haven't been bogged down by a season or years of failures.
Well, Hardwick's, if he's got a fault, and he's probably got a few, but one of them is he's probably got too much faith in the players that he's had.
He backs his men in, yeah.
And that's not a bad fault to have, but he has been slow to probably not so much. They've tried some other young players during the year, but he's probably stayed with a few blokes too long, and that's all fair enough. But
even Mick's man, I'm shattered he's not here because Liam McBean kicked a crucial goal.
Well, the first thing that surprised me is he's actually a person. We've actually seen him and he's real.
He exists, and he kicked a crucial goal for them to give him a chance down the stretch. His first AFL goal, I believe.
And the other thing that is clear is that underneath the iceberg is there's lots of gold.
Yeah.
As Damien Hardwick said.
He keeps telling us that.
Under the iceberg.
The iceberg.
So there's lots in the water.
Gold under the iceberg.
Something like that.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'm more of a Cos man, personally, but we're not talking about lettuce here, are we?
No.
No. As you were.
Yep.
As you were. Okay. All right. Anything just today?
Tom Boyd just come back into that side. He's done his time.
Paul is forgiven.
Just show some form in the VFL, which I don't know if he did on the weekend.
Well, no, he didn't. So do they bring him back in anyway or not?
Well, they're screaming out for someone to park themselves at full forward because never have you seen a side gain such comprehensive territorial advantage and huff and puff and huff and puff to barely blow the house down by the end of the game. They battle to do it on a weekly basis. They just need a stay-at-home clunker.
Well, that's what made the Richmond contested possession so good because they're doing against the team that have dominated in that area and to be able to sort of get close in that area.
It's too much to ask of Jake Stringer, especially come September, to be all and everything in a forward line. It's too much for him. It's not his strength anyway. He shouldn't be.
They play the Gold Coast at up there, Gazzaley Stadium in Cairns this week.
Well, they get him at a good time.
Mm, they do.
So, no, if they can, well, look, they speak about Geelong and GWS off the top. Them losing, Dogs winning is absolutely massive. And there's going to be lots of these crossroads moments.
I must admit, I was torn on Saturday night because from a Geelong point of view, it would have been great for Richmond to win. And I've got some friends at Tigerland, so I was hoping that they would win from that point of view. I've always grown up not really liking Richmond, so I don't really didn't really want them to win. But I'd love to see the Doggies. I think we'd all love to see the Doggies.
Longest premiership drought in history, at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. So we all and that was a really important win for them on the weekend. So good on them for getting it done.
Yeah.
Righto, before we finish, what about looking ahead to this week, Sammy?
Question without notice.
Thursday night. Who are we fancy?
I've always liked Thursday nights. I like them more than Mondays, and I like them a lot this week because this game is going to be absolutely monstrous. Sydney, Hawthorn, SCG. Hawthorn are getting more and more angry by the week. They're really ramping it up.
Well, that's the game. Actually, that's the game we haven't talked about because it was so long ago on Thursday night. Hawthorn are now premiership favourites.
Which means they'll lose this week. This is what's been happening.
Mm.
And Sydney, as we know, they had a bad loss to the Dogs up there only a fortnight ago, but super impressive against the Cats. It's just going to be a tough, tough game, isn't it? This will be a fight.
Who do we think?
Sydney. And Hawthorn will come out angry. They're going to come out swinging. And I just think Sydney across the ground might just be a little bit better. Hodgie, a bit of MRP worry. There's a little forecast, I reckon. He might just get a bit angry next week.
Next week.
Yes.
Have I missed something?
Gee's been good since he's come back, Hodgie.
Amazing.
He really is that on-field was going to instructor.
Make a call to his management today, actually, just to see where talks may or may not be with a new deal for him. Of course, he's out, so whether he follows the Sam Mitchell path and Ridley agrees to the 1 year, well, will it be offered? It'd be a brave man to offer him more than one.
No, no doubt. They can't really get rid of any of their players, can they? Of those old blokes.
Well, I think if form warrants it, there's no decision needs to be made. You just keep him. Mm. So maybe it's a hold for now, and we wait and see what happens. But certainly, he's slotted back in unbelievably well the last fortnight.
Yeah, and they, just given how tight it is in that top eight, I mean, they are as well placed, they're better placed than any
cracking
other
game.
Team.
No idea who I'm going to tip
game.
There.
Yeah.
I'm at this point in time, I'm almost leaning towards Hawthorn, which is incredible.
Anyone tip any upsets out of these games then? Okay. Fremantle, Geelong, Richmond, no. Essendon, North Melbourne, Port Adelaide.
That's tough. Port play Eddie quite well, don't they? Unless they appear to, without any facts at my disposal.
Lost to Carlton there this year. Are we going to get any players back north this week?
Wells and Wade are uncertain.
Yeah, I think they're still uncertain. Wade would have to be closer than Wells, I would have to say, but they'd be both uncertain.
Doggies, Gold Coast, Adelaide, Collingwood.
It's a big game, massive game, especially if North goes down. You have the benefit of tuning in on the other channel and going, thank you very much, Collingwood, maybe a chance. But Adelaide should get the chocolates up there.
Port can beat North Melbourne, for mine. Can happen, but whether it will or not.
Saints and D's, could Melbourne finally beat St Kilda?
So that he had.
Yep.
The again. Bogus venue.
Yep. And then Brisbane and GWS, you wouldn't think the Giants would.
No.
Might be a good Sunday to take the missus on a bushwalk or something and not watch any footy. I think,
on a
smell
bushwalk.
The eucalypts.
Wouldn't be.
Where would you be headed for your bushwalk?
Oh, the Dandenongs. Yeah. No, somewhere.
Do you
close.
Like walking out there, do you, Gil?
Oh, it's like getting out into nature, a little bit of fresh air and.
What do you take on your bushwalks?
Oh no, no picnic? Preparation at all. Just zero. Just a stick. I'm a big fan of having a bit of a walking stick to assist me going downhill.
Not a
downhill.
Selfie stick.
No. I'm good going uphills. Uphills, the engine goes well, but coming down. Balance is not great. So I don't know how we've started talking about bushwalking.
Can you take a photo for us on your walk next Sunday?
I will. Yes, I'm good. Not working.
There's something I've got to mention, actually.
Something you've got to mention?
I've got to mention it. And I'm only going to mention this because it's incredibly funny. I can't believe I forgot.
Oh.
Sam Michael made his Essendon debut on the weekend, and I was talking to an Essendon official about Sam Michael, and he said, you know, Sam Michael is an incredible eater. And I looked at him and I thought, he is a big unit. He said, the guy... Sam Michael actually brings, the way it was described to me was a briefcase of food to the club each day. And I said, you don't feed in there? And he said, no, the food we have, it's not enough for him. He brings in roast chickens. Oh. He brings in everything. And it's in this case and he opens it up and he chows down on it throughout the day. And he's been known on their pre-season camps. The food's not enough on the pre-season camps. He'll go shopping by himself, load up the trolley, take it back to the room. Cook up his own meals.
What's he weigh?
What are his skin folds? How could you be doing this?
He looked pretty fit to me from a distance. I hadn't seen him play live before.
Oh, I didn't mind him in Brisbane. I was surprised that he was gone. He's 197, so he's probably not quite.
He's an awkward size for a ruckman. Yeah. And I don't know if he has many tricks to the bow, to be honest with you, Hutto, but the guy can eat. Footy doesn't work out. The hot dog eating championships in New York might work out. Anyway, it just stuck in my mind. I meant to mention it when we're talking about... the Bombers, but the guy brings his own food.
98 kilos.
He brings his own food to the club. The old cut lunch.
Good
Except,
stuff.
He's been known to go through a few roast chooks in a day, so there you go.
There you go. You've saved your best gold for the whole podcast till last.
It really fit in, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Next week, we'll talk about someone else's eating habits, I'm sure, on the Super Footy podcast. Gilbert, thanks very much for sitting in Mick's chair. Is he back next week?
No, I think he might be off for another one. So he might get to hear about...
How does someone get 2 weeks off in the middle of...
That's an excellent question from you, Hutto, and I hope you take it up with our authorities here at work.
I would have thought so. Yeah,
but it's good because we get to hear how Gil went up in the Dandenongs with his walk.
Can't wait for that. Just be bated breath all
That'll
week.
Be the thousand steps, I just can't wait.
Don't forget, you can find us in all the usual ways on a Monday, iTunes, etc. It's the Super Footy Podcast. Twitter, don't forget, @SuperFooty is the handle. And get a handle on all the stuff there, of course, as we said, via iTunes. Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the Super Footy Podcast.